IMRO's 2023 Best Local or Regional News Programme, The Voice of the Northwest, The 9 Till Noon Show with Greg Hughes.
A very good morning to you, or welcome back. You've been listening since 9 o'clock. Coming up very shortly, we'll have Community Garda information, where you hear the latest appeals and information from An Garda Síochána Conor first and live on the show. Appeals today include burglaries in Dromore, assault in Buncrana and Letterkenny, criminal damage in Dunloe, and also in Stranorlar, and some tarmac scam advice as well. So all that and much more besides coming for you during Community Garda information very, very shortly. Busy on the text and phone lines as well this morning, so let me get to some of those. Hi, Greg. Them statements from the HSE are just to get people to think they're not losing the services and be off guard. They put one about St. Joseph's and physio services gone, dental gone, and beds going. Okay, well, that's what we're all here for, and the elected reps and the public are there for, to hold them to the word there. Greg, could someone please tell me who makes the decision to put all these flags up on poles in our town? Buncrana, Ukrainian flags, African flags. Is there not a law against this? I'm not sure what law there is. There's flags go up all the time. I don't know what the law is in relation to it. And who is responsible? I haven't a notion, if I'm true, if I'm being honest with you. I can get a divorce from a marriage. How do I get a divorce? Separation from a durable relationship. Many relationships end in bad terms. How do I move on from a durable relationship? How do you move on from cohabiting? It's a very complicated area, whichever way you look at it. I don't know the answer to that question, of course. As a carer of a very medically complex child with a disability that requires 24/7 care, I will be voting no on Friday. We do not need meaningless acknowledgement in the Constitution. We need practical support from our government and services. This amendment does not allow for that practical support. Ireland is more dependent on family carers because Ireland is one of the only countries in the EU where those with a disability have no legal right to therapy, support or housing. This is another example of the government shirking the responsibility for the disabled and caring communities in Ireland. Greg, there's a lot of them leaflets in the post office. I got one. Okay, for collection, but sort of the, I think the fact is they're supposed to be delivered. Sorry, Brian Cowan, government will strive to help all walks of life. That's where Fianna Fáil lost the Irish people. Another no ordinary person has a clue what they're being asked to vote for, which I think I kind of have the basic grasp of it now. But yeah, I get where you're coming from. The family reflects society, the values we hold, antiquated, etc., etc., repeatedly stating virtual signalling language. That's a phrase I have no idea what virtual signalling means. I see it all the time in different contexts, but that's my ignorance, not the texters, of course. What is he talking about? It's not even defined language that they're replacing with. Do we really want to have open, free-for-all multiple families, which will be decided by hard cases in court? And we know what way that ends up. Ask Patter what his plans are if he gets elected to Europe. Will he give up his Dáil seat for a by-election, or is he planning to appoint someone else in his place? Will he still be the leader of AINTU as an MEP? Be honest with the electorate. I didn't get to that, and it's a question I actually had for both. But they were invited on to talk about the referendums. Greg, a lot of people have not got any voting cards. I do not know where to go to vote. I don't know the answer to that question. Did you check the register? Are you on the register? It's possible it might come this week. People aren't stupid. Stop assuming people don't understand the referendums. This is what governments say when they want to keep running referenda till they get the vote result they want. There's no confusion. And on it goes. I'd be very keen to hear, because I have to be really conscious. I don't want to not read people's comments out here, but a lot of the comments, if not pretty much all of the comments, are no-nos. So I do have to be careful in that. I don't want just a whole swathe of those and not able to offer as much balance as really I have to. I will get to them over the course of the morning. But if you're voting yes, yes, please, or yes, no, no, yes, let me know as well. As I say, it will just make my life a little bit easier.
The Community Garda information slot is brought to you by Sheridan Security Systems, protecting what you value most. Call today and get your zero-wire alarm system from €299. Sheridan Security, 0891 26025.
Okie doke, 19, just turning 20 minutes past 10 on this Tuesday, the 5th of March 2024. And it's time for this week's edition of Community Garda Information. And we are in studio with Garda Grainne Doherty from the Letterkenny Garda Station. Good morning, Grainne.
Good morning, Greg.
Good to have you in studio with us. Okay, we'll get straight on to the appeals, if that's okay. And Garda seeking public information in relation to a road traffic collision in Donegal Town.
Yeah, this collision, it involved two cars. This occurred on the N15 at Drumgoan, Donegal Town, on Thursday, the 29th of February. So it happened shortly before 10:20 a.m., both cars were travelling in the same direction. They were both travelling from the area of Lahey towards Donegal Town at the time of the collision. The driver from each car and a passenger from one of the cars were taken to hospital. Some injuries were sustained by all parties, none of which are believed to be life-threatening in nature. We're appealing to anybody who may have witnessed this collision. You know, that road would have been extremely busy, you'd imagine, at that time of the morning. So we're hoping somebody may have witnessed the collision. Or again, as always, look, we're always appealing for dash cam footage. It's of great help to us. If anybody has dash cam footage from that stretch of road and around that time, if they could make that available to us.
Which is between the Tully Earl and Little Roundabouts.
Exactly,
It's on that stretch of road between those two roundabouts, slightly closer to the Tully Earl roundabout, I understand. Okay, that was 10:20 or thereabouts, shortly before it, in fact, last Thursday. Burglary in Letterkenny?
Yes, this burglary occurred at Drumore, Letterkenny, on Thursday the 29th. Of February, between the hours of 10:30 a.m. and 7:20 p.m. So the front door of this house, it was forced open. There were obvious signs within the house then that, you know, the area had been disturbed, but thankfully nothing was stolen from the property. So we're appealing to anybody, particularly other residents in that area, if anybody seen any sort of suspicious activity in that area on that date, to make contact with us in Letterkenny on 9167100. The Garda Confidential Line, this goes for all of our appeals. It may be reached on 1800 666 111.
So just describe to me what happens when you ring that number, the confidential line.
Yeah, I actually called it myself one day from the station just to clarify what does happen. So you're just automatically, you're put through to, it's an automated service. Just after the bleep, you leave your message. So there's no obligation on you whatsoever to leave your name, any other personal details about yourself. You know, just give the exact message that you want to leave and hang up. That's it. Just totally confidential.
Okay. Right. Now, an assault at Lower Main Street at the weekend.
Yeah, this happened in and around where the library is there at Lower Main Street, Letterkenny. It occurred in the early hours of Sunday, the 3rd of March, so at about 3:30 in the morning. One man is believed to have been assaulted by another man at that location. This injured man, he sustained injuries, non-life-threatening injuries, as a result of the incident. We're appealing to anybody who may have seen what happened. Again, that area would have been fairly packed around that time. And we're appealing to anybody that observed what happened. Or again, as always, if anybody travelled in the Main Street area or down past the library there and they had a dash cam, that would be invaluable to us, that footage. And if anybody has any relevant information, we ask them to contact Gardaí and Letterkenny on 9167100.
Now, your colleagues in Buncrana investigating an incident of criminal damage and assault.
Yeah, these two are kind of intertwined. They're related, yeah. So the Gardaí in Buncrana, they got a call to say that an altercation between a group of people was taking place at the West End in Buncrana in the early hours of Sunday the 3rd of March. When they arrived at the scene, everybody had dispersed. They'd all moved on from the area. But they did note that damage had been caused. A window was smashed of a business premises in the West End area. So a short time later, they became aware of an injured party from this altercation, a person who had been injured. He sustained non-life-threatening injuries. So we're appealing to anybody who was in that area who would have known, quite a noticeable, I'd imagine, incident, a group of people, a large altercation, you know, taking place. If anybody's seen what happened, we asked them to contact Gardaí in Buncrana. This would have been maybe between 2:45 a.m. and 3:15 a.m. as the time period that we're interested in. So Gardaí and Buncrana can be reached on 9320540. If anybody's seen, you know, what happened with this window, the window being smashed, or any sort of an assault taking place, we'd like to hear from them.
Sometimes images emerge on social media, on TikTok or Snapchat, of some of these instances that can happen. What does the public do if they notice that on their feed or if it's shared with them?
Definitely, and that's becoming unfortunately very common. You know, we all see it at times. We see it, maybe you're sent it on WhatsApp or you see it on Facebook or Instagram or some of these other social media platforms. If anybody does see anything like that, we would ask them to come with that footage to us. That footage is also invaluable. We ask them not to send it on don't send the footage on to anybody else, but do make that footage available to us.
Yeah, and I think sending it on to, you have to also think of the consequences that if, I mean, normally there is a victim, you know, it further victimises that person potentially as well. And it's just kind of inhumane, I think, especially if there's violence involved.
Of course, and as well, another side of that is we would like also, it would be invaluable to us, you know, to have this footage, but from a moral point of view, I suppose, we would like maybe to contact the injured party to make them aware also that this isn't, just in case that they would happen to receive this footage or a family member.
Yeah. I'm not saying that's the case in this instance. It just triggered it just triggered that question. Right, okay. Criminal damage down in Letterkenny now.
This is a very recent incident, actually. This happened early this morning on the Dr. McGinley Road in Letterkenny. So shortly after 12:30 in the early hours this morning, a man was captured on CCTV. He threw a brick through the front driver's side window of a car that was parked at that location on the Dr. McGinley Road. We're appealing to anybody who may have seen a male on foot in that area to make contact with us. And if anybody travelled in that area between and around midnight and 1 a.m. who had a dash cam, possibly even taxi drivers, I suppose they would be the most likely people about at that time of the morning with a dash cam. We're asking them to contact us in Letterkenny on 9167100.
Okay, criminal damage now in Dunloe.
Yeah, this criminal damage incident happened at the Caravan Road in Dunloe on Saturday the 2nd of March between 1 a.m. and 10 a.m. A rock was thrown through a driver's side window of a van that had been parked at that location, smashed the window. Nothing was stolen from the van. So if anybody can assist with relevant information in relation to this appeal, we ask them to contact Milford Gardaí on 9153060.
Right. Now, the last appeal relates to criminal damage in Stranorlar. What happened?
Yeah, quite a few criminal damage appeals this week, actually. So this one happened in the area of Drumbow. So specifically Drumbow Cottage, Stranorlar, in the early hours of Sunday, the 3rd of March. So shortly before 2:10 a.m, a resident in the house there heard knocking sounds at the windows. They got up, they went out just to check around their house, and they discovered that damage had been caused to their car. The boot spoiler had been knocked off and damage was also caused to the rear passenger side tail light. So we're appealing to anybody who may have been in that area, again in the early hours of Sunday the 3rd of March, who had a dash cam, to make that footage available to us. If anybody can assist with relevant information, maybe other residents in that area may have heard or seen something that might assist with our investigation, we ask them to contact us in Letterkenny on 9167100.
Now, tarmac scam. This is more of the door-to-door stuff. A lot of the time over the last year, we've been talking about sort of remote stuff, texts, you know, emails, phone calls, and they're ever-present. But also, and I think sometimes it kind of coincides with the days getting longer. I don't know, that's just a notion of mine. But we're starting to hear more now about in-person potential scams. So what is the warning here for the public, Grania?
Yeah, well, actually, we did mention that. We mentioned bogus callers last
week,
if you recall.
Yeah,
that a man, I think he was in the Lifford area, he had a caller to his door. They were purporting to be from an energy company. We'll not name the company. But they were seeking personal information from him. Now, luckily, he recognised something was up. He didn't give any sort of information to them and they went on their way. But I've since checked with that energy provider. They certainly had nobody in the area on that day.
Interesting. Okay.
So it's just to make people aware of that as well.
Because we weren't sure last week, were we?
No, so that had to be clarified. Yeah. So that has been clarified. So that man, it was great that he called and made us aware of it. So this is another type of scam this week. It's a door-to-door, it's a cold caller, a bogus caller again, you may say, but just a different type of bogus caller. So the tarmac scam, it is known as the tarmac scam. So in this scam, they go door to door claiming to be builders working on a contract who have some leftover tarmac, and they offer to conduct work in your driveway, in round your house or in round your business. The material they use is often gravel chippings covered with engine oil or not the right depth and type of materials to form a lasting road surface. These people generally, they target elderly and vulnerable residents, and that's the worry. They claim to be official contractors working on roadworks to add credibility. They often increase the cost. Once you've signed up, you've paid your deposit, they will often then increase this cost once the work has commenced. They'll increase the cost to extortionate amounts altogether. They'll claim that maybe they required more material than they had originally thought. And then they may start to issue threats and intimidate, you know, the homeowner or the business owner. We have had numerous calls over the past maybe week, maybe more than a week, week and a half, from people who've had such callers call to their homes. Unfortunately, we've had a number of people who have fallen victim to this scam. These people as well, you know, they're clued in. They take note of where maybe roadworks are taking place. And if you have roadworks in your area, we'll just say Lifford, for an example, Lifford Roadworks, They may call locally then to houses in that area, dressed as workmen, you know, say that we've left over tarmac from
it's
the roadworks that are going on.
Yeah.
It's going to go off. We're just going to charge you the fee to lay it because it's going to go off. It's going to go to waste. We won't charge you for the tarmac. This, of course, sends an offer. It sounds too good to be true. And people think, you know, if I don't take them up and at the neighbour, well, there's somebody else.
No, but I know someone who was affected by this, and it can be really quite an intimidating element to this.
Most definitely. Because more often than not, you may have one to two men that call to your door to offer the service plight, you know, and seem very genuine, 100% genuine. When these workmen then show up, you could have 8 or 9 or 10 men showing up in a couple of lorries and a couple of vans. They'll commence the work. Once you realise, you start to panic, then think something's not right. You see the what they're laying on your driveway, and they then at that stage won't take no for an answer. They'll then maybe tell you, look, we had said back at the start, you know, we now need 6,000, 7,000. This could be an elderly person, a vulnerable person living on their own. They're surrounded by a gang of men who are coming across as very intimidating and threatening. You know, and we're hoping to get the word out there today.
Can at that point you call the Gardaí? Because at the end of the day too, you know, a person has verbally agreed with another party to do work at their house. And then, I mean, are the guards going to sort of say, well, you know, they say, well, we never said it was tarmac. Do you know what I mean? Like, at that point, have the Gardaí a role in this?
Well, I have my suspicions that if the Gardaí pulled up at that address, that the vans and the lorries would soon pull out. They would disappear, you know. Most definitely, at any stage, you know, and we're hoping that nobody will fall victim to it. But if they've gotten to that stage where these men are there, look, unfortunately, at that stage, they've fallen victim to it in a way. If these men are there, you're feeling intimidated, of course, ring the Gardaí, and we'll most certainly go out.
Okay.
We're just asking people, look, if you have any sort of callers to your home or business, particularly in light of these reports this week, if they're offering to lay tarmac, we're asking people to call the station straight away. You know, don't open your door to them. As we said last week, if you're not sure who, particularly if you're elderly or vulnerable, don't open your door. You know, you don't have to let people into your house. You're under no obligation. No matter what they say they're there for, if you're not sure who they are, not interested, that's all you have to say.
No one reputable will ever call at your house with leftover tarmac to do a cheap job.
No, well, I know.
I mean, it just is not going to happen.
I've never had anybody call to my home, certainly not a reputable builder, electrician, whatever line of work they're in. You know, these people, they don't advertise in that way. They advertise through social media and newspapers and business cards. Yeah. They don't need to call door to door if they're reputable. So
all the information is really, really important to Gardaí. The descriptions of the people, number plates, any CCTV footage, anything like that, really useful to pass on to Gardaí as well. And also to spread the word. I know I talked about this last week, but, you know, this was up on the socials. Not everyone's on the socials. Now we're talking about it on the radio. Maybe people are missing this. You know, as a community, we need to get the word out there, I think. Which
we
what we're doing, but, you know, those who maybe might not be listening.
And as you said, look, every piece of information to us is vital. You know, registration numbers, accents, what these people are wearing, their direction of travel when they left your house. Did they turn right, left at the foot of your driveway? But we did have the calls we received over the past number of weeks. It was a silver Land Cruiser and an orange coloured lorry. Now we have registration numbers for some of these vehicles already. But I mean, they've access to God knows how many vehicles. You know, it's not just to say that they're going to come to your door and it's going to be an orange lorry and a silver Land Cruiser. They could be driving anything.
Yep.
So if these people come to your door, give us a shout straight away. Let us know what they're driving. If you can, jot down their registration number and a good description of them, their accent, and as I say, what their direction of travel was when they left. Do not agree to have any sort of work carried out by these people. In relation to the caller last week, they were calling, they were purporting to be there on behalf of an energy supplier. Again, if somebody like that comes to your house, like we said last week, you don't know them, you don't open the door to them, you never give out personal information to anybody, you know, on your door, on the phone, by email, text, or at your doorstep. So contact Gardaí. If these people come, and even if you haven't taken them up in their services, we would urge the public to contact us and make us aware that they have been there offering these services.
But you could be saving a neighbour or someone.
Of course, you could be saving somebody else who may fall victim to it.
Yeah, and they might say they're working in Lifford. They might say they're working on the... they'll check the internet. They might say they're working on the cycle lane in Ballybuffet, covers Donegal Town, Ballybuffet, that kind of stuff.
Of course, they'll do their homework. They'll look to see where the roadworks are taking place, and then they'll target that area. Yeah.
Okay. Right, Garda School Quiz taking place tonight.
That's right. We've a lot of young people this evening.
Want to kind of go there and do an adults team and kick their asses and say, "There you go, kids."
The questions are quite tough, actually.
That's what I'm worried about my plan.
I know. When the district heats were taking place, one of my colleagues was going through the questions. I shouldn't be saying this now, probably, but anyway, I'll tell you. He was going through some of the questions. Do you think these are too hard or too easy? And he was calling them out. And I was like, gulp. I was like, I hope he's not expecting me to answer them. He had gone through the first three and I hadn't a baldy what the answer was. So I have to say now, fair play to these young people. They are bright and they've
done
their
homework.
But we must
have known the information at some point. Have we forgotten it? I don't know.
Well, I think times too, when these questions come out, you doubt yourself. You think I know the answer, but then I don't know. They're just brilliant. I have to admire these young people. You know, they probably have their head in the books now today, studying for tonight. But listen, it's not all about studying and not all about winning either.
It's fun.
It's about taking part and having fun. And we hope to do have fun tonight. We're looking forward to it. It's at the Mount Errigal Hotel tonight at 7:30. We're looking forward to seeing them, their families and their teachers. And of course, their teachers and their families are very proud that they've got to this stage. So they're all winners anyway at this stage, as far as I'm looking at it.
And it's also tied in with the Donegal Motor Club and the Donegal County Council Road Safety Officer. So there's fun and a bit of education in there as well.
There is, of course, yeah. Look, we're wishing them all the very best luck this evening. We're looking forward to seeing them there and we hope they have a fun evening. That's the main thing, the fun element.
All right, coffee morning at Buncrana Garda Station.
Yes, this is to mark International Women's Day. So that takes place on March 8th. So the coffee morning will take place that day. It's a first aid demonstration too. Actually, it's quite interesting, this one, a coffee morning. So it's an aid of Buncrana Community First Responder Group. So they're going to be there and they're going to be shown displaying various aspects of first aid, CPR and the defibrillator, how to use it. It takes place at Buncrana Garda Station between 11 a.m. and 1 p.m. on March 8th. And everybody's welcome to come along. And listen, you know, we could all do with learning a bit about first aid. So come along, learn a little about first aid and enjoy a cup of tea, coffee, a few buns and a bit of crack.
Sounds fantastic. And a mention for the Donegal Youth Awards.
This is the final one. You'll be glad to hear this is our final reminder this week now.
But the Youth Awards, I love the Youth Awards.
Oh no, I know. We're it's a fight. Look, I'm not going to go through the whole rigmarole. I went through every other week. No, you have it there in front of you. You think I'll be here for the rest of the day?
No,
I won't. Listen, people know the score at this stage. So the Youth Awards nomination process has opened. It's for young people between 13 and 21 from throughout the county of Donegal. You can get a nomination form at Letterkenny, Milford, Buncrana, or Ballyshannon. Go on to our Facebook page, the Garda Síochána Donegal Facebook page. The link's there too to download it. We have to have the nominations in by 12 p.m. this Thursday.
Oh really?
It's actually very close now. So they've only a couple of days now to get them in. And we do urge people to please.
Every person that's nominated is recognised.
Everybody.
So if there's someone in your life, a young person in your life that you think needs a little bit of recognition, and it's up to the people out there to decide, you know, themselves what that what they've done that deserves it, but. This is I think it's a lovely way of hopefully giving the young people a lift as well, recognising what they do. It's a lovely thanks, and who's to say they could go on and win something quite nice.
Yeah, and we've had great success in recent years at the national levels. And the form itself, look, some people don't like filling forms, and there's not that much to the form really. So
exactly, yeah. You don't have to write an essay.
You don't have to write an essay. No.
Okay. Right, this pops up all the time. How can Ukrainian cars be exempt from the NCT in this country? A lot of Ukrainian cars have never had an NCT in Ireland.
Yes, so if your car has Ukrainian number plates, you're under no obligation to get it tested. It only becomes subject to testing when it's registered here with Irish plates. So this doesn't let anybody off the hook. However, by law, you have to keep your vehicle in a safe and roadworthy condition when used on Irish roads. So if you were driving a Ukrainian registered car, no more than anybody else, regardless of what registration you have in your car, if you're stopped at one of these RSA Garda checkpoints or a Garda checkpoint, they're going to go around your car, check to, you know, they're going to check for defects on the car. So the obligation is on you to make sure that your car is in a safe and roadworthy condition. It would be subject to seizure if the guards feel that the car is defective in any way, same as any other car. Ukrainian registered cars can be driven in Ireland, but there are certain vehicle importation rules that must be followed. It's depending really on the duration of the stay. Is it a temporary stay or what the duration of their stay is? So if anybody's wondering about that, actually, if they go to revenue.ie, the details are on there in relation to the importation rules. So once you do, if and once you register your Ukrainian car in Ireland, it must then undergo an NCT test.
So to simplify it all the way, I'd say someone from France came here on holidays, you know, they don't have to have an NCT, obviously. They don't have to have paid road tax here.
No.
Because of the nature of the shelter that's been given to Ukrainians, it's temporary in nature. They could go back tomorrow. They could go back. At the moment, That's kind of how it's treated. And the laws of the land from Ukraine apply here, i.e. some people say, well, I didn't see any insurance on the windscreen of the Ukrainian car. Yeah. They're not obliged to display the disc, but the car must be insured. Is that correct?
Oh, they're certainly obliged to have insurance to drive while on Irish roads, yes. Yeah. So I just see a printout here that I printed out. So just to clarify things further for people, just in relation to the Ukrainian driving licence, you can drive with your Ukrainian driving licence in Ireland. And this goes again to what you were saying a minute ago in relation to their status here, whether they're here temporarily or on a more permanent basis. So you can use your Ukrainian driving licence if you're under temporary protection granted under Section 60 of the International Protection Act. So this would mean that you have a letter from the Minister for Justice confirming that you are the beneficiary of a temporary protection in Ireland. You would have to have that letter to say that you're here on a temporary basis.
These rules don't apply to people who were living here in Ireland prior to the war, and they don't apply. So in other words, if you are living here but not, from Ukraine but not officially under temporary protection, for example, you have to switch your driving licence.
Of course,
and
yeah.
Stuff
no,
like that
no.
There.
So these rules, yeah. These temporary measures would only apply, as I say, if you are here and you have been granted this permission under Section 60 of the International Protection Act. Yep.
Okay, Grainne, thank you very much for that. I genuinely appreciate it. That's Grainne Doherty of Letterkenny Garda Station, and Community Garda Information will be back with you after the 10 o'clock news next Tuesday. And it'll be it's available on our podcast, and it'll also be replayed on our social media and linked to on Garda Síochán, our social media, the Facebook page, a little later on. Now, I, like many of you out there, have been in the big reception room in on Green and Hotel. It hosts weddings and concerts and what have you. It's a big, big space, and it was packed, absolutely packed last night. And I found the pictures actually really quite moving, because As the camera scrolled around the place, every single one of those people, I would say the absolute majority of them, were directly or at least indirectly affected by the defective concrete crisis. And just to see them all in the one room, as I say, I don't know, it was just, I thought it was really quite moving. But anyway, it was a very important meeting and there was a huge turnout. The people's document, they were presented with that. It's a joint initiative to define what a number of campaign groups believe to be 100% redress. And we're joined by Michael Doherty, a homeowner and campaigner. And, you know, when you call these meetings, Michael, you just never know how many is going to turn up, but it was packed to the rafters.
Yeah, we were delighted with it, Greg. We were on the show. You know, we explained what we were about. I think people saw, you know, a bit of hope in the fact that we had campaign groups coming together. We were looking forward as opposed to looking back and taking the opportunity that presents itself this year. So, you know, looking at some of the social media stuff there, again, it's been talked about, you know, the amount of cars that were there. It was, again, akin to a Donegal final, you know, either side of that entrance, with half a mile either direction with cars, as after the car park was filled, and they were filled both sides of the road to the point that we had a ask the guards to come just ensure the safety of everyone there. So, you know, you go into the main ballroom, packed all the way around, two and three, four, you know, standing deep around the walls. The bar area down the back was packed. And then you have people out in the foyer that never actually got to see us at all. So It was amazing.
Was there sort of an element of togetherness in it, in that it's a long time, I think, since so many people, because everyone's fighting their individual battles, you know, emotionally and with the scheme or what have you. The first time so many people affected by this issue have gotten together at the same time, it's just a reminder to everyone how broad the problem is and how that people aren't alone. There are so many people affected by this.
Yeah, and you know, you talked about it being quite moving. It was quite moving to watch it from the stage. You know, we had there was actually a few there in wheelchairs. We had prams, kids, you know, young babies, mothers still wanting to get there, want to make their point. Some of them actually struggling emotionally to make their point. So the hurt that people are feeling hasn't gone away. It's really, really deep. And I think what has happened now, the more people that have actually tried to engage with the scheme, they see for themselves what we have been warning of, as in, you know, the shortfalls of the scheme. They're seeing it for themselves now. And you know, we had everything. We had people even from Northern Ireland down there that's talking about, you know, they're working in Letterkenny. they're paying their taxes down here. They happen to live across the border, but they bought defective blocks in Buncrana, and they, you know, they're saying, why are they being left behind? So you had that, and everyone in between. Mary O'Regan, I was delighted to see her last night there again. She sang again Paddy's praises from the roof in terms of his you know, personal relationship there in terms of seeing her through, because there's no systems out there that's designed to see her through and help her through, and he's taking that on himself. So yeah, we had anybody and everybody there last night, Greg, and it was really touching.
But I have heard very recently from elected reps speaking to people that are affected by MICA, and they say the scheme is there, the scheme is in place, the scheme is funded, it is a working scheme, it's not perfect, but it is a good scheme, and for the majority of people it's very close, if not 100% redress. I've heard that from different people pretty much verbatim how I've just described it. Yeah. Are you saying that that is not what the people in that building were feeling?
Well, you know, the long and short of it, Greg, is that we printed out 500 leaflets of the draft version of the people's document, and we ran out about three quarter way through with a crowd. So you're talking about 700 or 800 people there that don't agree with that statement. It's as simple as that. It's not working, and that became loud and clear. One of the biggest tasks I had last night was trying to keep people looking at what the people's document was going forward. Everybody still wants to talk about the shortfalls of the scheme, and that's just indicative of how poor it is. And you know, I've heard the politicians that you've talked about, department officials talk about it working on the ground. You know, people didn't come out at 7 o'clock on a Monday evening, a cold Monday evening, to tell us that the scheme was working. It was the exact opposite. So it's just simply not true.
So what is the position at the moment? Of course, there are the four principles of redress: property, process, people, and support and prevention. So, like, is this about enhancing this scheme to make it work? Or is this about a completely new, broader scheme? Because that's one element of this that I'm not fully clear on.
Yeah, it's the latter. It's a complete new, broader scheme.
So this is a rejection then of the current scheme, Michael, just to be clear.
Yeah, exactly. The current scheme has not worked twice. We have the 90-10 scheme, then we had the enhanced version of it, neither of which have worked, other than for a trickle of people. And it was designed that way, that only a trickle of people were ever going to get through. What we're now talking about is a completely different forum. We're talking about the extension of the pirate remediation scheme down there that did deliver 100%, a proper 100% redress for all of the families down there in the Leinster area, and rightfully so. And we want that extended into our scenario here in Donegal and the other affected counties to deal with defective concrete blocks.
Now, what's next? The document has been agreed then, I take it, as much as it can be. How could you poll absolutely everyone to get their view? But it seems the consensus is that this document is agreed. So it will be put together and sent to elected reps. When we talk about elected reps, who are the elected reps? So local councillors? Are we talking local TDs? Are we talking government ministers? Who gets it?
Yes. All of the above.
Opposition.
Every politician in the land is where we want this document sitting in front of them, because it's going to affect them. We have 14, 15 affected counties, all to different steps and different stages along that learning curve that we've been on over the last 14, 15 years here. So they're all at different stages of it, but it needs to be put in front of them. And they need to basically absorb that and see what would be wrong in delivering what has been asked for in the scenario where the homeowner is at no fault whatsoever. And it's not just the homeowner, it's the property owner. And we've deliberately called it property as opposed to home, because there are other properties out there that need to be addressed as well, that people have put their hard-earned earnings into, that has let them down. They bought in good faith, or they built in good faith. Now, I believe that we have got something that has a precedent already, albeit in a different scale because of the Leinster Pyrite scheme, and we're asking for parity with that, and we're going back to the basics, grassroots, of what 100% redress is all about.
Okay. So it's not about whether foundations are put into this new scheme. It's not about whether, you know, the cost of building and the scheme is changed and the sliding, you know, the upper limits increase. It's not about any of that anymore then?
No, we follow the science regards the concrete, and you know, it doesn't matter if it's the foundations or the blocks. We follow the science, and if in doubt, take it out. That's the standard line that we'll have on this. Until
but
such
if in doubt, takes it out
says
means
less, we'll
there's
do.
Only one option on the table, and that's demolition and replacement of.
Exactly.
I mean, that's what if
exactly.
in doubt is. Okay.
Exactly.
So
that's what it is.
The nature of and, this next yeah. meeting then is that literally like a roll call. You know, we sent it to Minister McConnell. He said this. We sent it to Deputy McLaughlin, he said this. Like, what is the function of this second meeting to present the responses if they have been received?
Yeah, well, again, just take it back a little bit. So we had put together already probably 80% of what we're going to end up with. We already had that in place between ourselves, so myself, Paddy, Lisa, Tricia, Roisin, the two Lisas in there. So that was about 80% there. We then had run it past a few different sounding boards. And that tweaked a few things and added a few things in there, like partially built homes, side-by-side homes in certain circumstances, et cetera, which was great. And then we got some other really good points coming from the floor last night. And that is the last version now of the people's document. We'll have that pulled together, and that'll be Thursday night's meeting. We'll be working between now and then, but it'll be finished by Thursday night. On Friday, it'll be going out widespread throughout to all the media outlets and to all of the politicians. They then have basically up to the 26th, of March to come back with their position against that paper, and secondly, they're all invited to come along to to a meeting with the people and talk to them about what their views are on this document on the 26th of March. So that gives the people a chance to, you know, cross check some of the things that have been said in the past, make sure that when it comes to putting their X on the ballot sheet, that they're with confidence putting it down there against somebody that they believe, not just the words, that they believe after the cross-examinations and all the rest, and their understanding of the endorsed position that should be in written form coming from these politicians, who to back and who not to back. And I think it'll become pretty obvious at that stage. So that's the next step.
Okay.
And then when we move on then from that, we're looking for and we'll call it out, we're looking for Sinn Féin then, who are likely to be the next major party in the next government, to put together the draft legislation now with our help, not at arm's length, with our help, put that draft legislation together that is of and ready at whatever point they find themselves in there as a major player within government. And we're not sitting waiting on another year of writing stuff up that could be written up now. We want it all and ready when it comes to time, and we want that ready as soon as possible, that people can see it before they cast their vote. That's the ask from us.
And again, just to recap, you know, if people think this is an initial stroke letter kind of issue, you know, if you're listening in Downing's Carrigart, if you're listening in Dunloe, if you're listening in Glenties, Donegal Town, whether it's, you know, mica in inverted commas or some other deleterious materials, very sadly, this, you could be listening to this thinking this doesn't affect you, but it possibly could. We hope it doesn't, but it is a county-wide problem and obviously beyond the borders of our county.
And just on that, Greg, we had people last night from Glenties. Now, it's a brave run up on a Monday night to the Green Union. And just,
we see the penny starting to drop,
afterwards.
You see. I think the penny's starting to drop, that this is not a North Donegal only issue.
That was the point they made. They said that there's people in denial down there because it has negative impact on the value of your home. For starters, it has negative impact on insurance, so they don't want it talked about, and that's the.
We
were there, you know, and
it's just a lag in other areas.
And this is the reality for other counties as well, Greg. This is going to be a national scandal by the time it's all over, not just a few affected counties. No doubt about that.
Right.
And you know, now's the time. Like I say, we're never going to have the opportunity that we have this year. And really, it's about holding those to account. I believe we'll have people better educated than ever they were before for anybody coming knocking on the door looking for a vote. And that's the aim at this point in time.
Thanks for your time again, Michael Doherty, a homeowner and campaigner.